Well, he runs the EPA, but to hear many environmentalists say it, at least, Scott Pruitt is not exactly on the side of the environment. More those companies and those fossil fuel industries that destroy the environment. He says they've got it all wrong. Scott Pruitt talking to me earlier.
Our job is to be informed in making good decisions on how we regulate to achieve good environmental outcomes, but also to do so consistent with the statute. So I think that process is the right process. But Neil, I think as we look at the overreach with the Clean Power Plan, a war on a sector of our economy. I mean, a week ago today, I was in Kentucky talking to folks there about the war on coal that the previous administration engaged in. It was a real war, and the president said the war is over, and that's what I was there to announce to those folks there. You shouldn't, as a regulator, you shouldn't engage in any kind of war on any sector of your economy. You should look at these issues, utility companies making decisions on stability, cost, using all forms of fuel, from natural gas to coal to renewables in the generation of electricity.
But isn't it natural gas that has been the biggest competitor and threat to traditional coal, that you wouldn't even have to be doing any of this stuff? You let market forces prevail. In other words, that's the biggest burden that coal producers face, that the clean natural gas alternative that just rose and quickly became the new energy du jour in this country.
But I think from a mining sector perspective, they would say to you it was not just the competition in the marketplace, it was the veiled purpose by the previous administration to place burdens and restrictions on them that did not improve environmental outcomes but increased burden. It failed
to cost benefit. So you felt that the prior administration targeted, in this case,
without
coal
question.
Or fossil fuel industry?
Without question.
All right. Well, the reason why I mention it, sir, is that there's been a great deal of talk about your move now to go one step further to stop this whole so-called sue and settle approach that we've been having to try to curb legal settlements with environmentalists. They have argued, the Sierra Club has come out to say of what you did here, there's a general hostility to citizen enforcement of environmental laws, and it reflects the fact that Administrator Pruitt doesn't want these laws enforced. What do you say to that?
Absolutely. Look, I'm a former attorney general. I led a grand jury. I know what it means to prosecute folks. We've already begun the process to prosecute individuals in many cases across the country. What happened here over the last several years is not enforcement, Neil. It was an abuse of the rulemaking process, because the EPA would engage in discussions with these various third parties, and they would agree to certain obligations, you know, taking discretionary duties in the statute and making them non-discretionary, or changing timelines that Congress had put in a statute. And then they would go to a court and say, put this within a consent decree. And then they would use that to go to states and citizens all over the country and say, now you have to do this. And it didn't go through rulemaking. That's a subversion of the rulemaking process. It's called sue and settle and regulation through litigation. And any agency of the federal government that engages in substantive rulemaking through the judicial process is abusing their authority under the statute. And that's what we ended yesterday.
All right. Now, the press always has a field day trying to peg you on climate change, sir, and I know you have tried to address it in the past, but I want to know, for the record, you said that you believe in climate change, you believe that man in a large part might be contributing to it, but you don't take the leap where man should spend a lot of money, I think I've got it right, to address that. What is your position on it? Of course, as you know, President Trump, when he was running for office, blamed this on China, said it was a China hoax, that they're getting away with being the most abusive, and they get off scot-free. But your views?
I mean, I think the president's view in that regard, like the Paris Accord that we exited with the right leadership of the president, where China and India did not have to take any steps with CO2 reductions until the year 2030. In fact, India conditioned all of their responsibilities on receiving $2.5 trillion of aid. You know, when we look at what we've achieved in this country, Neil, with respect to CO2 reductions, we're at pre-1994 levels today, largely through innovation and technology, as you put it earlier, a conversion to natural gas in the generation of electricity. We've reduced our CO2 footprint by over 18%, almost 20% from 2000 to 2014. So we're leading with action.
So your issue wasn't denying the fact that man might have a role in climate change, just the degree to which we would bear the burden to pay to correct that.
Comparatively to these other nations with respect to the Paris Accord.
So if India, sir, and China were to pay up or pony up more than they are now, which is next to nothing, at least in the early years of that accord, but they will down the road. If they were to do that right now, would the U.S. consider then rejoining and honoring that accord?
I think the better discussion, Neil, is not to put artificial targets like we did in Paris, 26 to 28%, that the past administration, with their own regulations, failed miserably to achieve. It's to focus on what we've already done to reduce the CO2 footprint and then export that technology to places like China and India. But let me say this to you, Neil. All that being said, the tools and the toolbox under the Clean Air Act on how to address this issue is a very important question. I can't imagine authority under the Clean Air Act. I can't create it out of thin air, forgive the reference, and make it up. That's what the past administration did. The Clean Power Plan was reimagined authority. It was so unprecedented that the U.S. Supreme Court intervened and issued a stay of enforcement against the unlawful action of the Clean Power Plan. So
you didn't buy the Obama administration's argument at the time, sir, that 6,600 premature deaths could have been avoided. Or that 150,000 birth defects, asthma attacks, and the like in children could have been avoided.
Neil, we regulate pollutants under the National Ambient Air Quality Standards Program, the NAAQS program as it's called. That is focused on health. There is no cost-benefit analysis at all. What the past administration did with the CO2 reductions is they double counted. They look at those kinds of reductions in pollutants alongside of the CO2 reductions and said we should get the benefit of that double counting to really spice up the cost-benefit analysis. But all that being said, Neil, the fact of the matter is this. We are leading the nation, the world with respect to our CO2 footprint and reductions. We're doing so through innovation and technology. And we've got to ask and answer the question, what authority has Congress given the EPA to engage in rulemaking to reduce CO2? The past administration did not do that. Our administration is.